In the
step outside of your comfort zone. See the world with a whole new perspective. Join us and experience the unexplained on the Paranormal View.
And welcome everybody right here to the Paranormal View on the Parex Radio Network. Want to thank everybody for being with us tonight, those in the chat room and those listening from around the world. We appreciate each and every one of you. If you do have questions tonight, you can private chat them to either myself or Ceiling Cat, and we will get those answered for you. If you're listening from somewhere else around the world, feel free to come over to the ParaxRadioNetwork.com and click on the chat now button, and you'll be in with all these wonderful people, and you can interact with them and with us too. So with that, we are going to have a pretty good show tonight. We got some guests that's with us, and we are going to be talking about all the shows that we've had this past year. The good ones, the bad ones, the guests, the whole nine yards, whatever. We're also, because it is our New Year's Eve party, we're going to have drinking words, and we'll be giving those out here in just a few minutes. So I hope you all have something to drink anyway. And if you're like some of these people that's going to be with us, you might make it through half the show and you might not. Tonight, though, we have with us Barbara Duncan.
Hello, everybody.
And she's feeling happy because she's still on vacation. And we got with us Jeffrey Gould.
Hello, hello.
All right. And we got as our surprise guests, and it's probably not really a surprise, but we have with us Tina Marie Ronan.
I'm here.
And we have Thomas Wertman.
I'm here too.
All right. Okay, so the things that we're going to be talking about, and we kind of talked a little bit about it beforehand. Of course, you're going to want to know what words to drink by. We was talking about a few of them, and I don't think any of us actually voted on them. We thought Happy New Year might be one because it is New Year. And anything paranormal, that would be one because that's what we talk about. It's paranormal a lot. And Barbara, did you have one that you wanted to throw out there?
No, because I'm not encouraging people to get slammed.
She's not encouraging that. Okay. How about Thomas? You have one?
You know, why don't we go with something simple like UFO?
All right. That's good. And, of course, I think I said the ones Tina was talking about. So did you have another one? Or?
Nope. I gave you all those.
All right. That sounds good then. So anybody says Happy New Year, talk about paranormal or UFO, and be prepared to take a drink. So let's see here. We got
you realize that that doesn't say take a drink. You're saying be prepared to take a drink. So you're essentially just staring at the glass.
Right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's like people who take the Academy Award and say, I'd like to thank the Academy, and then they never do.
Now, I was going through the stuff from last year's or this past year's shows, and I'm just going to run down a list of guests we had on the show. We had Dean Regas, Tiffany Mason, Elaine Kuzmeskis, Thomas Wertman, Tina Marie Ronan, Kevin McQueen, Herman Stevenson, Rick Hayes, Cat Gash, Preston Dennett, Kayla Ambrose, Jeff Wilson, Barry Strom, Nick Redfern, Alan Brown, Deborah Blake, Thorn Mooney, and Storm Fairywolf. Now, that's quite a lot of different guests we had. Of course, that didn't cover all the shows because there was a lot of times that we didn't have a guest and we just had a show about something else, just with Barbara and myself and Jeff.
Yes.
So I was looking at different things, and I want to see if people that's followed our show pretty much, and I see Jeff Wilson, he's in the show. Let's see.
In the show or the chat room?
He's in the chat room.
Oh, okay.
And Nyla's in there. Sayona is in there. Kat and Sherry. And they're all in the show. So I'm going to ask some questions. And I want you to, you can put it in the chat if you want to, or private chat us, to see if you can guess these questions that I'm going to ask.
Wait, guess the questions or guess the answers to the questions?
Guess the answers.
Okay.
I mean, if I tell you what the question is, that's easy for them to guess.
No, I mean, they wouldn't be able to guess what questions you're going to ask.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're a medium.
Oh, that's true. We got one in there.
But anyway, my first question is, who has been on the show the most this past year? Not counting Jeff, Barbara, and myself.
Cool, because I was going to say you. Because, you know. Occasionally, I've had to be out here. I've had a shoot or something.
No.
I can't see the chat room, Henry. And we're on radio, so the people listening on the podcast can't see it either. So what are they typing, Henry, so far? What are their guesses so far?
Right now, nobody's got any guesses.
Oh, okay.
So, but I'll, Barbara, do you know who's been on the show the most?
Oh, I would say it's Thomas.
I would say it was Thomas.
You guys are right. Thomas Wortman, has been on the show 9 times this year.
Wow.
I was just checking my text messages from you, Henry, and counting them up as to how many times you text me throughout the year. What are you doing Saturday night?
Oh, you get those too, Thomas?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Sometimes he gives me a break and maybe does it on a Wednesday or Thursday.
Well, we like having Thomas. He's a very fun guy, and he can help keep a show going, that's for sure.
Mm.
Okay, now, my next question is, who has been on the show second most this year?
It's not Cat Cash, I don't think.
We got somebody by the name of Big Mike on. He said Tina with a whole bunch of exclamation marks. Do you know who that is, Tina?
I do. That's my friend Mike.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad he's here. So you guys don't have any idea who might have been on second?
Well, Tina's been on a number of times this year, so it's possible she's second. But we've also had Elaine. Well, no, Elaine. I think she's only been like on twice this year, hasn't she? Elaine?
No, she's been on 3 times.
3, okay.
Yeah. Tina Marie has been on 4 times, and she's tied with somebody else. Who do you think that might be?
Houdini? Oh, no, he'd be untied.
I have no idea. The only time I've been on the show other than tonight has been the other three times I've been on the show.
There you go. Which begs the question, is this Thomas' ninth or tenth appearance?
It's his ninth time count.
This is his ninth, okay.
Yeah. Barbara, do you know?
No idea at this point.
Okay. It's Kat Gash.
Oh, it was Kat, okay.
Yeah, she's been on four times with the same amount as Tina Marie.
See? Great minds.
Yeah. Now, Elaine Kuzmeskis has been on three times, and Herman Stevenson's been on three times.
Wow, I beat out Elaine and Herman. Woohoo!
And Jeff Wilson, who is in the chat room, has been on twice.
Yep.
Going to have to step that up, Jeff.
He's got another book coming out, so we're going to have to see about getting him on. It looks like somebody's wanting to know what the drinking words are. Happy Paranormal New Year with UFOs.
I don't think that's going to be said like that many times.
Oh, it's not going to be said like that.
That was too clear. And does that time count, by the way?
Now, I have another question, and I guess it's kind of like for, well, anybody really, Jeff. What do you think were some of our best shows this year?
Well, pretty much anything Thomas has been on has been always informative and fun, and how can you not love his voice? I would be such a voiceover actor if I had his voice.
Ask my wife that same question.
Why? Is she telling you to shut up all the time or what?
She just ignores me.
Oh, well, that's just a wife's job.
Okay. Gonna...
In fact, somewhere I wrote, marriage is 98% of two people saying, what? From across the house. Let's see here. We only had Marla on once this year, didn't we? Or
Marla's been on twice, I think.
Oh, okay. I'm actually going to be on her show in a couple of weeks.
Let's go.
Yeah. Well, I always like the ones we do in Gettysburg, like, because then we get like Craig and Mr. G and other people showing up and you're out there having fun and I'm sitting there saying, that's far away.
Well, yeah, you get a lot of those people like when we're doing the show at Gettysburg and stuff like that. Because Tina was included in some of that too.
Yes. Yeah, not this past year though.
No, but you was at Fort Mifflin.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. I'll ask you a question, Tina. Who is mommy?
Oh, that's my sister-in-law, Amy, from North Carolina.
Yeah. Where's she from in North Carolina?
She, Amy, you're going to have to tell me. I can't remember what town you're in. Yeah, I can never remember. I always have to look up the address when I send stuff to the kids. So, I know she's near the beach.
She lives where I
Wilmington.
Live.
Yes, that's it.
I lived there for 20 years. So.
With her?
No.
Not with her.
Wilmington's a great little place.
Yeah. I've had a couple of people, and I'm surprised it didn't happen to my mom this year, who keep sending me cards to the address that changed like 3 years ago. And everybody, I told everybody, and it was on my contact page on my website, says, here's a new address. This is taking place March 1st, 17 or 16. And every so often, you're like, oh, the card came back. I'm like, well, did you put this number in the front or this number on the front? They're like, oh, the old one. I'm like, well, okay. Update your address book.
updated. We got, whoa, I hear feedback.
Is it good feedback or bad feedback? Are we doing good?
No, not that kind of feedback.
Oh, okay.
In headset.
I didn't hear any, actually.
Well, I think it was just coming back on me. Got another question in for you. We have our shows over on Podomatic, and it'll tell me how many people's listen to our different shows and stuff. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think the most listened to show this year on Podomatic?
Of our show or some other series of which I have no knowledge?
Our shows.
Oh, okay. Well, got to be clear about this stuff.
I just said that. Our shows.
No, you said what show on Podomatic was, you know, and I don't know how many shows are on Podomatic.
Our shows, Jeff.
Right. Oh, okay.
Our shows.
Ah.
Now, what do you think the most listened to one was?
I have no clue.
Barry can... show?
Boost?
When Barry Strom was on?
Nope. Patsy said Thomas Workman's UFOs. Oh, wait. Isn't that one of the... Oh, what is that word?
Oh, yeah. UFO. Drink, people, drink.
That's one.
And Sherry said it's paranormal.
Two.
Yeah.
Let me catch up. All right. Okay. Barbara, do you think you'd have an idea which show was most listened
no
to?
No idea.
For replay on Podomatic. Is any chat room have an idea?
If you're going to be silent waiting for them to answer, it's probably not a good thing.
No, I'm not being silent. I was reading stuff in what they're writing in the chat room. But no, okay. Nobody seems to have an
Sorry.
Idea. That's okay. I want to tell you, before I tell you that, I got another one that see if you guys can guess first while people's trying to think of this other one. Who was on the first show we had this year? January the 6th. Who was our guest?
Oh, crumbs. I actually had our page up that would have told me that.
Yeah, that's cheating, Jeff.
No, it's not cheating. It's called research.
I like that, Jeff. It's my way of thinking.
Let's see. Oh, okay. I got out. Oh, that's. Oh, shite. Wait.
Sherry said Elaine. It was not Elaine.
Oh, okay. Tiffany Mason.
That was the person did our first show this year. Tiffany Mason. So back to the other question now. What show has been the most listened to or replayed on Podomatic?
That I one? Don't think they know.
Okay, then I'll tell you. You guys twisted my arm enough. It was Tiffany Mason.
There you go.
Awesome.
Great.
They had 11 replays of her show.
Wow, that's off the charts.
Now, who was second?
I didn't even know she had a vice president. Oh, wait.
Does it count if you replay your own show about 10 times?
No, Thomas. Sorry.
Okay. Just thinking outside the box there, you know.
Stop being paranormal with your UFOs. Now drink,
oh,
people.
Oh.
Boy. Oh.
Sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah. Okay. It was a guy that that I'd got on the show, and it was very interesting. He had a lot of good information, and Thomas might even have heard his name. I don't know if he has or not. But he works at the Cincinnati Observatory, and he's also on little quick segments on TV. His name is
Nick Redford?
No, it's Dean Regas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, he worked at the Cincinnati Observatory. He had a book out about nighttime stars, you know, the constellations and everything like that. He was very, very interesting. His show has been replayed 9 times on Podomatic. And the next two people, I'll just tell you who they are. It was Herman Stevenson's show. It'd been replayed 8 times.
And I believe that.
This one here you probably wouldn't have thought of. I'm sure Barbara wouldn't even have thought of it. Was Storm Fairy Wolf. His show had been replayed 8 times.
Yeah. He was a good guest.
Yeah. And he's from San Francisco, so Barbara talked about going to their thing because they got a store. And but it was different, but it was still a good show. Pretty interesting.
I'm not sure what you mean by different.
Well, the subject was different than what we normally have.
It was mind expanding.
Yeah.
But how much different than if we had Marla on?
I don't know. I would say a little bit different because we know Marla.
Now I'm more confused. Wait, how does that enter into the equation that, well, we know Marla, so her talking about the exact same topic is different?
Because I don't deal in anything like the topics that he talked about.
Oh, I do, so.
Well, to me, it was different.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. So, I didn't say it wasn't no good. I said it was just different. Interesting is what it was. So, all right, Barbara, you got anything to say about our shows this past year?
Not that I've already said.
You guys are wearing me out here. Jeff. Looks like he has a new book coming
Jeff
out.
Jeff Wilson. We've got more than one Jeff around here.
Well, Jeff Wilson. And we'll see about getting him back on this coming year. He's always interesting. A lot of useful information and facts about Ohio.
So let's take this in a different road. Tina, what have you been up to?
Yes.
Or what the highlights have been of your year, because you've been off on the road in various conventions. And your,
I have.
And my favorite word of the day, haberdashery, has been taken off. What's been the highlights?
Oh, just kind of expanding. Did some more conventions out east. Did one in Pennsylvania with Bill Reap. And it's always kind of cool that even though it's a convention, even though I'm a vendor or a speaker, a lot of these places are either in a haunted place or they're going to take you to a haunted place. When I'm a vendor in a haunted place, they're like, oh, you're going to stay for the hunt tonight? I'm like, why? I just spent 10 hours in this place. I I've seen it. I've heard it. So just loving that, just getting out and going to new places, getting to explore them and kind of investigate. Even though I'm still a vendor, I get to hear and see that stuff too. One of the big things for this year for me was I started my third company with some friends of mine. Ooh. And so now instead of just doing, metaphysical jewelry and Reiki and speaking and lecturing and let's see what else, classes and doing the hats at Heirloom Haberdashery. I started a third business with my friends and we now do specialty smudge sticks. And I thought it was going to go okay. Within 3 months, we are now in 4 stores, paid off our startup costs, and are completely on, you know, just whatever money we make. Well, yeah, we're on profit. We're strictly on profit now. It's nice. Fantastic.
What's the name of the company?
It is called Three Sisters Smudging. And we're on Facebook. And we're loving it. We're having a good time and people are liking it because instead of paying $25, $30 for a specialty smudge stick with different herbs and stuff with it, they're getting them for $15 and $20. Like I said, they're in different stores. I'm taking them to the different Paracons and people are ecstatic. I've got people buying them not because they're smudge sticks, but because they smell good and they're putting them all, you know, on their dashboard in their car, on a windowsill, on their fireplace mantle, and the whole room is just smelling wonderfully savory, you know? So, having fun.
No, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Go to our vendor shows in haunted places. Have ghosts walked up to you while you're at the booth.
Oh, God, yeah. That happened. I think the one that was the most persistent was there was a lady at Ashmore Estates. I'd say she's probably in her mid-30s, had really short, straggly hair. Her dress was longer, but not overly clean. She just was peering over my shoulder going, what you doing? What do you got there? What are you doing? And I was in the middle of setup. I'm going, I've got 2 hours. Leave me alone. I've got to hurry up and get this ready. And just constantly, constantly until I finally just turned my chair around and said, I'm setting stuff up. Have a look. You know, let me know if you like anything. And just kind of got up and walked away from her and went to the other side of the room. And she was busy for a while. Then she just kind of disappeared. But, oh, yeah. And yeah, I love Ashmore because I have my own little room. And everybody knows whenever I'm there, I'm going to be in that room. So in my room, it's on the second floor. There'll be people off listening to doing stuff. There'll be people outside. There'll be people downstairs. And there'll be nobody in the hallway. And you'll just hear little kids laughing and running down the hallway. And you look out and there's no one there. And you know that they are not that far away because you can still hear them. So it's kind of cool.
And that's Ashmore Estates?
Ashmore Estates. Henry, you haven't been there yet. You need to get there.
Yeah. There's a lot of places I haven't been to.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how much I can do this coming year because we're going to be on low budget.
Yeah.
I'll have enough to go to Gettysburg, hopefully, and have a big outing there. Most of the time I'll be doing stuff in a radius around where I live.
Alrighty.
But there's a Preble County Historical Society. I go up there a lot.
And you promise you're going to take me and you never do.
I haven't been there. I won't go back until springtime probably.
Okay.
She's got a friend who's got one over in Northeast Ohio. A big building and it's haunted and she's wanting us to go over there and investigate that place.
Well, as long as it's spring and not snowing.
She said that there's a little girl that you see up on the second floor.
Cool.
In the building. So ought to be pretty interesting. So we're going to go there hopefully in the springtime.
Okay. Let me know.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know next time we're going out to Preble County, which pretty much any time generally.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to go out there while it's real cold.
Yeah.
The house is heated. I mean, it's climate control, so it's always warm or cool.
Cool. I have for, we're not talking about 2019 yet, right? Gotta wait.
No, if you want to talk about it.
No, I'm excited because I've always wanted to go to Mansfield. Haven't been there yet. I was scheduled to go and it just kind of fell apart for me, but the rest of my friends went and I've always wanted to go. And this year, Tri-C Ghost Hunters is having their Parapsycon at Mansfield, Ohio. I am so excited. I cannot wait. They've got a whole bunch of different guests going to be there, and I'll be one of their vendors there. I know Tiffany's going to be there. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. I know Chip Coffee's going. There's a bunch of other people that are going to be there. They have it on their page, but I'm excited. I'm finally going to get to go see Mansfield. And when my friends went, I think it was back in 2010, and I was scheduled to go. I didn't get to go, and they all went. And the biggest thing that they were so happy about was they got EVP, Class A, and they literally asked, where was I? They just said, where's Dina?
Really?
Plain as day. And I was shocked. I was really shocked. Huh. So they knew I was coming, and it didn't work out, and I didn't show up, and they were all disappointed. So I got to go.
I've been here one time, and I was up there with Tim Shaw.
Oh, okay.
They had a big event up there with a lot of the ghost hunters, and we went up there to it. And one of the guys who worked there, took Tim and myself around and showed us places most people don't get to go see.
Yeah,
I don't like it. I mean, certain areas is fine, but a lot of the areas is you're walking up and down 90,000 stairs. And that's the only thing that I didn't care about it. You go into big cell blocks where they got two and three tiers of cells and you're on the ground floor just looking up at them. It's pretty ominous because it's all the bars and everything looks like they haven't been painted. I mean, they haven't been, but they look that way because of a lot of air, outside air, cold air,
mm-hmm.
and all of them to rust up like that.
Yeah.
So, but it's an interesting place. I mean, there's a lot of history in the place. So it's a good place. They get all kinds of EVPs there.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was telling us that if you go into where they take showers, the guys in there talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
But when we was there, they had a lot of people there just because it was the event with the ghost hunters.
Cool. And,
so you wasn't going to get very much audio because it was too much talking from everybody else with all the people. If you go in there with a small group, you stand a pretty good chance of getting stuff.
Yeah, this probably won't be a small group. There'll be a lot of people there, but I just get the chance to experience it. You know, if I ever want to do an actual investigation, I'll go with quite a few less people than that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had a big event here at Post Town this past.
I know I was asked, but I was already busy.
Yeah. It was cold in the place because the place where they hold the event isn't heated. They had it on like four or five different areas, and some areas got a whole lot of people coming through and some of the areas didn't get a whole lot. So, and you do not have any, you can't use your computers to get out.
Mm.
They just have no Wi-Fi there.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for Thomas, if we have a moment.
Sure.
Thomas, I got to ask. I know that you do UFOs. Have you ever been ghost hunting?
No, I haven't. Henry's been trying to get me out there because I told him a couple times about some of my own experiences and feeling sensations while I did some investigations. And I think he'd like to test it out to see, okay, can he sense something here?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I know he's been bugging me to get to Gettysburg.
She's going to have to make that trip.
I know. I got, well, last couple of years I had kind of a bum leg. And when Henry talks about all the steps, I mean, I cringe because I know exactly what he's talking about, going up and down the stair steps. But I would like to test it out sometime, though. I really would.
Well, only because I have to say there's a lot of crossover. I'm mostly a ghost hunter, but there have been places where we've seen UFOs.
Well, you know, I'm in agreement with that because I know I've had different ones talk about seeing orbs and lights. And one of the guys who made an interesting comment is a guy that studied with Alan Hynek years ago. His name is Ted Phillips. He said he was out doing an investigation for UFOs and he's inside of a building. Sorry. And he sees like an orb inside of a building. And then he thinks, wait a minute, if this orb is outside, it becomes a UFO.
Mm.
Inside, it's paranormal. Whoop, I just hit two words.
So proud
but,
of you.
But he's right when he say that, you know. But you know, you think about that, and I agree with that, you know. So what's to say that they don't overlap at some point?
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what that point really is?
Well, here's a big question. Everybody takes EMF detectors with them. And it seems to me that that's a perfect crossover would be what's the EMF field during a UFO sighting? And how does that correlate with any paranormal activity that happens around that time? Right?
See, that's the challenge is because, I mean, the UFOs reports come in after the fact. And we'll go out and do a follow-up investigation. But, you know, it could be 1, 3 or more days before we're out to certain sites on there. And by then, the ones I've done, I haven't picked up any residual activity. But right now, I know there a gentleman by is developing a UFO detector. And it's actually been around for a long time. And what it's doing is it's picking up magnetic anomalies. And the idea is to have these devices a number of points around the country. And when one of these devices picks up a signal, it actually sends it through the internet back to a server that records where this has taken place at. And then what you do is you look for correlating UFO reports that may come in and say, okay, wait a minute, here's a magnetic anomaly. And here's somebody who's reported seeing something unusual. Let's see if there's, you know, a correlation between the two. We had one come in that was in my area, but unfortunately the magnetic anomaly was not due to a UFO. It was due to Goodyear blimp. But I look at the bright side. It did pick up a magnetic anomaly. So,
yeah,
you know, and that's just a matter of tweaking the devices, tweaking the software, and really fine-tuning things. But you know, there's a chance there.
Yeah, but magnetic anomalies aren't necessarily residual. I mean, what's the lifespan of that? Or even the half-life of that?
Right. Probably very, very short. But the idea would be you get something coming in, and at least we can say, okay, here's a magnetic anomaly. Here's something somebody's seen that we can't explain. So that's just a matter of going forward from there.
So what about using an EMF detector on a crop circle?
I've been to a crop circle, but I did not have an EMF detector. I know they used Geiger counters that day, but they did not pick up anything other than normal background information.
Wasn't sort of that, one of the theories being that the crops are bent via microwave?
Yes. On one of the ones I investigated, it was, but when the one I worked on, when we got there, we assumed it was on like on September 20th, I think it was 2012, or it maybe happened 2 weeks before that. I'm sorry, 2 weeks before September 20th. But it was hard to pin down the date because somebody only saw the crop circle from air. You could not see it from the ground level anywhere. And by the time we got there, I think everything probably was gone at that point.
Wow. Tina, have you ever been to a crop circle? And if so, what's your impressions on that?
No, I haven't. I have not been to a crop circle. No, I've been to places where there's been the trifecta with the shadow people and a cryptid and UFOs. That was kind of wild.
Do you pick up on the cryptid interactions?
Oh yes.
Do tell.
Oh yeah. This is the famous Michigan cemetery that I keep trying to get Henry to come out to. This one, you go to a lot of cemeteries, there's nothing. It's a cemetery. But every once in a while, you run across one that has something there. And this one has the trifecta. I've been going here since 2009. It's in southern Michigan. It is literally in the middle of nowhere. And from day one, whenever we've been there, we have always seen and heard shadow people. And we know that the cryptid is there. It has jumped out at people. And I'm one of the few people that have seen it full on. But whenever you're there, it's right in the tree line. I have taken people there that are hunters. And they say, it is not an animal. It's not walking on four legs. It is obviously standing up on two. The cryptid that I've seen could go on four, but it very well, it could easily stood up and stand up on two. So it's just... to having seen the UFOs there too, that kind of helped. Thomas, are you familiar with Bill Konkaleski of Michigan? He's the Michigan director of MUFON.
Oh yeah, okay. I know Bill.
Okay, Bill's a good friend of mine too, and I told him about this place, and he said, "For the love of God, get me there."
Well, what did this creature look like?
Well, okay, let's see. For those of you that have seen The Lord of the Rings, guys have all seen what Gollum looks like, right?
Yes.
Okay. Imagine Gollum, but with more patches of black hair here and there, more around the joints. The skin is gray. It has very long legs, but they bend backwards like a dog would. It has a human-looking face, but... it's as if we're like someone who's in the middle of a change to like a werewolf, where the snout is actually growing out. It's bigger. So it's got a humanoid face, but with it growing out snout wise. Okay. Teeth are huge. Eyes are double the size it would be for a human. And the thing that I was close enough to see this, it was down on what you would call like its hands and knees at the time. And it has a third knuckle on its hand. It has an extended joint, very long claws, big teeth. It felt threatening at the time. And when I originally saw it, it was up against a very light gray headstone, big one, very big headstone, because it had like the whole family on it. It was the backside, full moon, and it was so lit that nobody really needed their flashlights. But I saw some gray up against a light gray headstone, saw this dark gray, and it was sudden. So I turned my head, see this creature, see it, everything on it, and it slowly turned its head, looked at me, and then blurred. So it moved so fast, I didn't see it move. It just blurred and was gone. It was shortly
after the blurring was like a telepathic perception filter. Like,
something,
you don't see me anymore.
Yeah, either that or it just moved that fast. My mind couldn't track it.
Wow. How tall was it?
When it does stand up, it's a little bit over 5 foot tall. When it jumps out at you, it jumps out so fast that your mind doesn't register it for a couple seconds. You know something's jumped out at you. You instantly, flinch backwards. And then you realize you've seen gray skin. You've seen patches of black fur and big teeth and really big eyes.
Slender build, muscular build?
Very slender, like looking. I would say humanoid, but a cross between that and something else. No, it's not Dogman. It's too tiny, too slender. I'm not the only one who has seen it. There have been other people in the area who have seen this.
Are you
this
sure
thing.
This wasn't like a large dog with mange or anything that looked really...
No, too okay. humanoid looking of a face.
Now, the one thing that always drives me crazy when people describe stuff like this, as you just have, and it's one of my pet peeves, is the idea that, quote, the legs bend backward like a dog. Dog's legs do not bend backwards. What you're seeing is their heel. That part that bends in what seems to be the other direction is the heel of their foot. And the long bit that goes down to their paw. That's why when I watch something like Shadow Hunters and the werewolves change, their knees shatter backwards. I'm like, why are you doing that? That is anatomically stupid. You're making an extra joint that's not there.
Yeah.
That always...
Sorry about that. But yes, you are correct. Very much so. So more like the back had like the leg of a dog type creature.
So it had an extended foot.
Right. Correct. But the front had more human looking, but with the extra joint on the fingers.
Have you considered talking to Josh Gates about this?
I have not. I haven't seen him probably in 3-4 years.
Well, I mean, you can contact him, I'm sure. He's still doing a few shows.
True.
Because every time, as you were describing this, all I could see was his CGI rendering of it in the beginning of an episode. Yeah. It's sort of like this.
Yeah. Yeah, so I told Bill about this, and I had him come down, and he actually brought a cryptozoologist with me, and I think his name was Bob. I cannot remember his last name. So he was there, too. We did not see the creature that night, but they could hear it. It was literally right on the other side of the tree line. It did some growling for them. And at first, we thought it was just like raccoons, but it's got a very distinctive growl. And
as
it
do
just,
raccoons.
True. True. And if you're somebody who grew up in the woods, you know what that sounds like. You know when you hear a scream, it's not a woman being murdered, it's a peacock.
Or a fox,
correct. Yes. So they have distinctive sounds.
How many times have you seen this?
I've seen it full on once. I have heard it every single time I've been there. I've probably been there about 20 times.
Have you ever went in the daytime?
I've usually end up going there about an hour before dark. So it's still very much, you know, the sun is up and it's lit. The creature is, you know, it's there. I can feel that it's there, but that's me because I'm used to the creature. I know what it feels like. And you guys know I have ability, so I know it's there. There was actually a time, I know you guys have heard me mention Karen before. Karen was with me, and there was one time that we were getting ready to pull into the cemetery. And as we were pulling in, we both felt so threatened. All we did was roll down the windows. We heard growling as though it was right outside the car. We left. We literally did not feel safe. And Karen is someone who never backs down from anything. We just didn't feel safe that night, so we left. I was just wondering, Thomas, if you had ever done any ghost hunting, because I know there's places and times where there's crossover.
Well, one time I think I told Henry that I was doing an investigation. The individual called me down to report seeing a UFO out the window of their house. And when I went in his house... It was also very unusual to begin with because I think she said 40 dogs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. There are dogs everywhere. I mean, she says, yeah, I've got dogs here. I've got dogs in the basement. I've got dogs out back. And I felt sorry for this one little tiny toy poodle because it kept following me all around the house like, take me home. Get me out of here.
Help me.
Yeah. But every time I was walking through this house, I went through one room. Because she's leaning around, showing me everything. And we went through this room about 6 to 7 times. And I had this feeling that wasn't like cold shivers. It was more like an electric feeling going through my body. Mm. And every time we went through this room, I could feel it over and over and over again. Finally, we stopped in this room, and she knew something was wrong. She goes, that mirror that you're standing in front of right now, this dresser, she goes, this is where I see like shadowy type images appear on occasion. And she was basically describing something related back to paranormal. And I was trying to find more information about the history. Well, the house was built right around the turn of the century. And she said the dresser had been there ever since she moved in. She didn't know the history of the dresser, the history of the house. But every time I kept sensing something, it was in that room. And that's where she brought up on her own that, oh, there's unusual activity in this room. I see shadowy figures in the mirror.
Wow.
So it does make me wonder if there's a crossover. And also, another time I had an investigation I was doing down in Salt Fork, which, again, has a lot of unusual activity down there. I was doing an investigation, UFO investigation, and I go by the area where there's a cave at down there, and it's where a girl passed away at. She fell accidentally. And I kept sensing something down in that same area. And I couldn't really pin down what it is, but it just made me wonder, you know, about the connection between the two. Is there something there?
Well, it also makes me wonder if these UFO sightings could also, the EMF, could possibly excite paranormal activity, because if it is related to high electromagnetic frequencies, it's possible it could be acting like a conduit of some sort.
Possible. Mm-hmm. It's possible. It'd be interesting to have EMF detectors down there, you know, something like it running like 24/7, and see if there's spikes, you know, and if people have reports during that same time, either paranormal or UFO related.
Or is it possible that these things that we're calling ghosts really aren't ghosts so much as they are transdimensional, and they travel through these electromagnetic spheres?
Yeah, I know I've had several reports come in where there were UFO reports in areas where there were paranormal activities over the years. One, I'm drawing a blank on the one canals over in eastern Ohio. I did a UFO report where an individual reported UFOs coming down through this valley area. And actually, this UFO pushed over brush and stuff a number of years ago. And it was pushing the brush down. The guy claimed he could see even like an occupant through like windows. And this thing pushes the brush down, goes down the valley, comes up the other side, and disappears. And a little background story behind it is this guy, it's when he was in high school with several friends who were out camping. One of his buddies went in for a date, and the other one, the other couple guys said, hey, let's go in, go in town, and they left their one buddy behind. And I take it back, two guys behind. And when the two guys saw it, one guy hopped in the truck and took off and left the other one behind. So here he's out in the woods all by himself, just seeing this UFO coming down, pushing us down. And unfortunately, we never heard about till years later.
The Travis Walton move.
And yeah, like a Travis Walton thing. And the when I researched that area, there was a girl who died in that region. Her family had come over from like the old country, helped build these canals, and she died. And I'm trying to remember the exact background story, but I think they were trying to send her back home, and something happened, and the ship that her body was on went down.
Oops.
And there were stories that she was, you know, basically trapped there at that canal then, where she passed away at.
There's a lot of stories about where people's died like that. It's like they're stuck in a certain area or something.
Yeah, I know she, I think I said that she wanted to get back home to see her mom, and that never happened. But it just struck me as strange. I like to do some background research when we get cases coming in to see if there's other activities of some sort going on in that same region, whether it's like the cryptozoology, paranormal, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know. There may be that relationship.
Well, I know there are correlations between what some would call post-traumatic stress, and then develop into more of a heightened psychic ability. And I'm wondering if a lot of abductees would have that sort of latent, if they had any latent psychic ability, to have it sort of just turned on like a switch with an abduction.
Well, that's what I told you before, Barbara, about my own personal experiences. Again, it's one of those things that, you know, you have these memories, you go through regressions, and they bring out things pointing towards, you had an experience with the Greys. Now, in the back of my mind, I'm still saying, yeah, but maybe it's still a dream, maybe it's still my imagination, but there's been those investigations I've been out on. It's almost like something has turned the light switch on, and I felt that connection. And there's times that outside, even doing investigations, that all of a sudden I'll hear some song, turn the radio on, that song is playing at the exact same point. You know, little unusual things like that.
I have that. I refer to that as pointless psychism. Where I'll, like you say, I'll be thinking of a song you haven't seen or heard in a long time, and then suddenly it's playing.
Oh yeah. And it's some obscure song, and you're at the exact same point in the song when that happens. Or I've had, as I call it, a dream of talking to somebody, going through this whole conversation. The next day, it's like a Twilight episode where you're almost reenacting everything, kind of like you're stuck in a loop.
Been there, done that.
Oh, yeah. And you know, have you ever had that too, where it's somebody that you normally have never seen or talked to in a long time, so it's not like it's an everyday occurrence?
Yeah.
It's like, why would you think about that person, or why would you think about this particular location? Unless something almost prompted it.
Mm-hmm. So, Tina, I have to ask you, have you ever read someone coming to you for a psychic reading who has had an abduction experience? And does it show? I mean, are there markers?
That I don't know. I rarely do readings. So, no, if it's there, it's not something I recognize. So, I mean, other stuff. I mean, if people have really had... You know when people say, well, I've had a spirit here, I've had a ghost here, and they're trying to explain it. If you have ability, 9 times out of 10, if you can feel that there's a spirit there, they don't have to be there. They do leave, for us that are able to feel it, sense it, they leave a residue. It's something that you can pick up on, like a psychic leftover residue, or if you watch Ghostbusters, slime, you know, but that's not what it looks like or feels like. It's a residue, and it's like a psychic residue, and you can pick up on it, and you can pick up on the spirit's last feelings, their thoughts, even sometimes pictures of what they look like without them actually being in the room.
And you have to actually open yourself up to that, though, don't you?
You do, and not everybody's comfortable doing that. So you have to be ready. I would say work with somebody, be ready to do it. But I have something for Barbara. I have a thought and a theory. You are familiar with a Reiki attunement, correct? Okay. You guys were just saying, you know, what if an experiencer, you know, somebody who's gone through something traumatic, whether they've forgotten it or not, and all of a sudden they seem to have abilities or psychic abilities. What do you think about somebody having something so traumatic that, similar to an attunement, a portion of the wall that they've built up gets knocked down and they're able to access their true self, and that is why their abilities are coming through?
So,
thought.
It's sort of like a lightning bolt for nothing. Lack of a better metaphor.
Yeah. Right. Like a shock to the system that resets it and gets it where it needs to go. But people are now able to do what they weren't before because of something so shocking, like an experience or for whatever.
Yeah.
You hear people all the time.
The correlation that go through that would be that if you're going to blast through a wall, the dynamite's going to leave a residue. And you're going to know anybody walking through there is going to recognize that, it's arson, because here's the trail and here's the chemical. Or it's TNT because here's the powder marks and here's where it is. So, I assume that maybe a Reiki master could recognize if somebody's already having that Reiki attunement. A Reiki attunement because you can see it.
You do.
But also anybody else who's had that blast to the chakra, so to speak, whatever that blast was should leave some sort of residue.
It should, and it also should, in a sense, create an opening so that they can access and use abilities that they were not aware of earlier.
And I guess it would just depend upon the blast and
the person. Their beliefs.
But also is what the backlash to it was. And if that residue that's left behind also taints what the person can feel. If you get my right. Yeah.
Agreed.
So that in Thomas's case, if it truly was a blast from some sort of alien, for lack of a better term, mind probe, because it sounds like that's what they were doing, is probing his psyche, then it may leave some sort of alien residue, which is why he could detect people who have had experiences. Thomas, does that make sense?
Well, yeah.
Okay, now you got me going down this path.
And we thought tonight was going slow. And we're off.
Okay. So now you brought up an interesting fact. I've had back problems in the past, minor surgery in the back a couple different times for disc. And I was getting a massage from somebody specializing in Reiki. And they could not believe the pain that they were feeling coming through their hands. And they were almost relating it to the back injury. But could it have been something else related to that?
Why not?
Because they said their hands started hurting so bad from the feeling that they were getting from me that they didn't want to do it again, even though I knew them very well. It wasn't a personal thing they didn't want to do it. It's just that something, and that's why you mentioned about, something maybe coming over.
And, of course, next time you should just tip better.
Okay, I'll give you that.
But I hear what you're saying, because, it's like I was talking that blast through. Who knows what kind of energy it left? And maybe that's what they were
picking up. Well, and that's where I'm going on here, because of some of these experiences, a lot of them I remember more distinctly years ago. But there's people I've been around that claimed that, I know one individual claimed that they'd seen me on board of a craft. And and somebody else who, again, I don't know if she was psychic for sure. She said she was. Her husband claimed that she had psychic abilities. She didn't know about my abduction experiences. And we were at a meeting for like 2 hours. And at the end, she goes, "They're not done with you." And I said, "Who?" She goes, "You know who I'm talking about." And it's kind of like one of those, if she wants to creep me out, she's doing a good job right now, But on the other hand, what's she picking up?
Have you had anything happen to you since she said that?
Well, that was when, it wasn't too long after that, somebody else I know, she was talking to a friend of hers who has been also through reported, experiences like that. And her friend was talking about being taken on board a craft where there are a lot of other people. And she started talking about the people she'd seen, and all of a sudden she started describing somebody to this person I know that she says sounded an awful lot like you. Build-wise, background-wise, because you talked quite a bit on board this craft. And then she had to do the test where she got out pictures, and she put a number of pictures on a desk. And mine was one of them. Mine was the picture she picked out of everybody. So, you know, and that was only maybe 5 years ago, something like that, most 4 or 5 years ago. And they said that was recent that she talked about doing that. So I don't know.
I think I would have to be somebody, I would have to actually, in a sense, read somebody who has had an experience to know what to look for, to understand that in somebody else. I can go into a room, and anybody who has ability, though I think everybody does, those who use it, I can tell right off the bat who does and who does not. So it might just be something I'm not recognizing it because I don't know it for what it is yet. So there's no reason why somebody else can't be picking up on it and knowing what it is.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm wondering if there is some sort of marker that can be picked up on. A residue
in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whether or not it's not even just a psychic ability, but maybe a Reiki ability too. If you're saying that, you know, the pain from working on that area of your back also caused it. So that there's some sort of feeling that's going on there, or some sort of whatever it was they did.
And I mean, I could be really reaching here, but I mean, when you're thinking about pain transferring through hands, maybe it wasn't pain coming from the back. Maybe it was just pain coming from the experience, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah.
The experiences over all those years, because she said she'd never encountered anything like that before. And that's what kind of scared her on there. She says, just the pain that I'm feeling. She says, my hands never hurt so bad when I was done doing something like that. And she just naturally related it back to the back area. But maybe it goes beyond that. I don't know.
Because, you know, I don't know about you, Tina, but, you know, normally the energy pushes out, not back in. And although you do get that hot sensation or a cold sensation.
You do. There's other things that... I've had somebody that I have worked on before that never, and it was somebody I kind of knew. I mean, I'd seen them before, had talked to them before. And the first time I did Reiki on them, I knew they had been abused as a child because I could feel it as if just touching this person. It was as if the experiences came up to me and I could see some of it through my hands, just putting them on. I never said anything to that person. I haven't seen them since, but they felt great when it was done. And she said, I felt relieved. That was a really weird word. It wasn't like she was in pain. So it was really weird to hear her say that word after me feeling that and experiencing that with that person, that she felt relieved when we were done. In a good way, but relieved.
Brandy in the chat room is asking if a Reiki practitioner should be transferring somebody else's pain into themselves. It's kind of not what happens.
No. When you do Reiki, Reiki can do no harm. Truthfully, can do no harm. It's done. It's literally done with love. It is love. It's just, if love were a physical manifestation, and used to heal, that's Reiki. So Reiki cannot harm. Now, can the Reiki practitioner take on somebody's illness or their feelings or something? Yes, but you learn, and that's something you learn from your master teacher, to not do that. So, good question, Brandy.
And this person was doing it too, was not a master. They were training at that point.
Okay. So just somebody who was very highly perceptive, maybe somebody with gift to begin with.
Yeah, because you can pretty much, and I understand what Tina's saying, is you follow the energy and you can go, okay, here's a bad point, here's a bad point. And you flick it off with your hands. But normally you don't transfer the pain into yourself. You pretty much just feel it. So this must have been some really strong stuff.
Yeah. So that begs a question, Thomas. Have has anybody done an investigation with experiencers where you've used somebody that is psychic or with ability to try this out and see if you can get some answers out of it? Or is it something that should be done?
Well, yeah, we've done some investigations, like the crop circles. We had some individuals who had psychic abilities there that claimed that, you know, they were feeling things. But it's something we didn't have any, I guess you could say, instruments to really measure anything beyond that. Exactly. Right. And that we didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one of these things where people showed up. And this one was a true crop circle. Because it had taken down, this one you had to see to believe, it took down over three acres of corn. And that was actual corn that was down, been at 90-degree angles.
And that was here in Ohio?
That was here in Ohio over at Hopewell by the Hopewell Indian Mounds.
Okay.
And you can find it on the internet. It was extremely amazing to see and then go out and actually do the investigation in it. Because, I mean, it's one thing to knock down wheat, barley, something like that. It's another thing to take down 3 acres of corn. I mean, we're playing the drinking game tonight, and you couldn't get enough alcohol in me to go out in the middle of a field at night and take down 3 acres of corn, bending them one stalk at a time in patterns.
Wow.
It's
yeah.
not going to happen. A different Jeff Wilson was the one who did the investigation, was heading it. And that's when he analyzed the corn stalks and said they'd basically blown out from the inside in that area where the crop circle formation was. Hmm. The control samples outside didn't show anything like that, but inside the circles, it did.
You see, I don't know about it was just you, but I would love to put my hands on that stuff.
Yeah, me too. Barbara, fly in. Let's go.
It would just be amazing to feel what it is that did that.
Yeah, and see if they, I don't know, left a residue, left a calling card.
Left butter for the popcorn.
Yeah.
And the challenge is getting to them. You know, we've had several come in the last couple of years, reports here in Ohio, but they ended up being basically down crops because of weather.
Mm.
Extreme storms and so forth on there, and it was always basically a lighter crop, very easy to push down of high winds. That's why the corn just stood out is so incredible on there.
How did it look when it was laid down? Was it like in a circle, like something coming over it, circle blowed it down, kind of?
Well, it had this really wild name, something like a hyperbolic septagonal tessellation or something like that. Say that 10 times fast. And it was, they found a picture in an obscure book of it, and it basically had seven arms coming out of it in a kind of like a spiral type pattern. And it had 37 circles, if I remember correctly, total. And what was unique about it is some of the circles went clockwise, some went counterclockwise, kind of alternating back and forth. And then when you got to the center circles, you had one row going clockwise, another counterclockwise, alternating back and forth with inner rows basically laying out radially on top of the other ones. So if somebody wanted to create that by hand, it was going to take a lot of time. And secondly, when we went to do the investigation, we were trying to step over the stalks because they were broken or bent over anywhere from like 6 inches to 2 feet off the ground. We're trying to step over them not to do damage as we're doing the investigation. And after 10 hours, you can't raise your legs up high enough to keep stepping over these things.
Yeah.
And we couldn't help but do damage. And I'm thinking if we did this much damage from what it looked like when we walked in, somebody had to do probably equal damage in just creating it, and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
Hmm. And there was no residue, like a spaceship come over and, I don't know, electronically torn down?
The only thing we found was actually compasses to begin with. One of the circles, the compass actually started spinning opposite directions. And couldn't really become stable. And cell phones, if you had them, had to basically be shut off and rebooted to get the signal back. So there was a magnetic field. There's a magnetic field there, yeah. It was only in that one circle of all of them.
Huh.
That's why when I went down, I took a number of people just had like cell phones using a compass on, but I took Wiggler's Boy Scout type compasses down with me. And I took a couple of them.
I wonder why the rest of them wouldn't have some sort of magnetism to them.
No, I don't know why the other ones didn't. There were power lines, but not close to that area. It was cleared out the opposite end of this field is where high tension lines were. But there was nothing we could see in that small specific area.
Hmm.
Well, if they have that like in that one spot, though, with magnetism, if they're flying over or around power lines, would it disrupt those power lines?
It could have disrupted something on there or caused something, but we didn't have access to any records of like power fluctuations.
Hmm.
Either like something was tapping into it or something was putting off just to reverse a field into it.
So of all the years of people going out to investigate crop circles, and they still take Geiger counters, has anybody ever come across anything radioactive?
The ones I know haven't reported anything under like background radiation. The biggest thing I think is just getting there soon enough. It's how soon to discover it, if there's been any weather or anything in between. That was our problem because this one down here in southern Ohio was only spotted by an aircraft. And that's why they can only guesstimate between like when somebody saw it and when somebody didn't, when this thing was formed.
Yeah.
So, Tina, even if it were a period of time, it seems to me that a good group of psychics going in there, or even Reiki people, should still be able to pick up on something.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Thomas, you're Ohio. I'm Indiana. I'm not that far away. You just need to call me now.
Well,
now I'm intrigued.
Well, see, this was one. Here's another background story behind it. It was before I became state director of Ohio. I was a chief field investigator, and one of my friends told me about it, and he contacted Jeff Wilson with the International Crop Circle Research Organization, sent him the pictures. Jeff was the one who made all the contacts. And I said, hey, would you mind if I kind of ride it along shotgun and just help you guys? And he said, no, come along down. Well, I didn't ask for approval, which I was told later on I should have from our state director at that time. And she got mad, yelled at me and everything else afterwards. She goes, you need my approval to do this. You can't be basically running rogue. I said, I wasn't going in under MUFON. I was going in under myself and another group. I was just basically a fly on the wall helping out any way I could. Well, the reason she got so mad was the fact that she came down. And she goes, I'm down here to a UFO investigator checking out this crop circle. And the farmer says, there's no UFO down here. And he wouldn't let her in the field. So she's up on this hill along with another friend of mine looking in. I'm inside the circle measuring, and she can't even get on the field. That's what really upset her. So I would like to see, again, like you said, somebody with psychic abilities. I didn't know the individuals there. Maybe they had excellent qualifications. But I would like to see somebody I knew their abilities, you know, go in. And they do something maybe different than just walking in and saying, here I am, I feel something.
Right.
There was nothing beyond their emotions at that point. I'd like to see some other instruments, because I'm one of these guys that likes to look for data behind things. It's like going out looking for EVPs, you know. I want to see something. I want to hear something. I want something there.
Well, I mean, that's just it. Nobody is treating this sort of like a paranormal investigation either. And I'm wondering if taking an EMF detector, a tape recorder, a good psychic in there too, and treating it as a paranormal spot rather than a MUFON investigation.
Yeah.
My yield
difference. Yeah, and I when I go out, I take my EMF detectors with me and haven't picked up anything, but then I didn't get my own stuff until after this investigation. And I've got good recorders now that I can use along with these. So that's going to be in the bag when I go out to do something like this in the future.
So who was growling at us?
I was saying, yeah.
That's my dog in the background. She heard somebody come in the house. And she's my little 18-inch high guard dog who's going to take somebody's ankles right off.
Well, that's like I forget which movie it was, but these people break into a house and they disable the alarm, and he's like, "It's that easy?" He says, "Yeah, I keep telling people to get a dog."
Exactly. I mean, although a number of years ago I had the same size of dog before, and what you'd see is a little dog barking like right now. But what you did see was the Rottweiler standing behind her as backup.
Well, Rottweilers aren't big on barking. I had a friend who had two Rottweilers, and if they sensed somebody was going to jump over the wall to come into the backyard, they would just sit there like, "Come on over, come on, then we have you." You know, they would wait. They wouldn't bark to warn. They were like, "Come on, we're waiting for you."
That's the way this one was. This is, I don't know, 120 pounds or something. It was big.
Yeah, they used to guard the Roman Empire or something, their palaces.
And here's this little toy fox terrier in view for somebody looking in the door, and what you don't see around the corner of the doorway, here's the Rottweiler just standing there like, "Okay, come on, bring it on."
Exactly.
You know, that's not mine, by the way.
No, that's the one over here.
I know you was saying, I guess the last time we had you on, that there's some things going on recently with you. Is there any new news about MUFON now?
Well, the one thing that I did is I kind of changed my positions a little bit. I mean, it's still state director, but I'm actually branching out now, doing some of the special assignments now, getting involved with certain things that, have been investigated, looked at by other investigators out there, but we're going back and reviewing things and, again, looking for correlations. And part of it goes into the fact, let's say, for example, you've got a high number of cases in a certain area. Let's see if there's a relationship between these, because as individual investigators, you don't always get a chance to do that. And the nice thing about it is we've got a team of a number of people that also review the same thing, and you've got everybody kind of looking at things their own unique way, using their own skills, which I think is another great asset. And I just got involved with him a couple of months ago, and I can't talk about anything on it because we're just working on some things in the background. But what I'm seeing is it's given me a chance to raise the bar for my own personal skills. One of the things that we've talked about in the past is like monitoring aircraft, monitoring flights, going over. And when these people see like an airplane go down or something like that on the news, a lot of news places are going to the same place I use to get my information about aircraft that's flying over, and you can track the aircraft or transponders on there. And you're limited because you can't pick up military. Well, I found out in this case, Henry, that military, a lot of planes do have transponders, but they're filtered out. And the sites that people are picking up have this, their information basically scrubbed out of it. Well, I found one that doesn't. And I'm actually looking at the screen right now. I'm seeing about 10 aircraft on my screen over the U.S. right now, not fighters. But you're finding in this case like tankers, transport planes and things. And one night what was really unusual is I actually was tracking a drone out about 80 miles east of Area 51. And it looked like they might have been conducting exercises out there.
People or military?
The military. You were seeing this drone circle around, but in the same area you'd see like the surveillance planes, you'd also see tankers in the same area. And my thought was, if you're seeing tankers and you've got things like that, you probably also have fighters in the same area, but they just aren't being picked up and tracked.
So you're saying the
X-Files
has an X-Files.
That's right. And I think it's just given me more areas to look at, to explore. And today I was reading an article about it where when Air Force One took off and went over to Iraq, there were people monitoring the same website, basically. And somebody saw something leave the Washington area that had a unique call sign to it. And it didn't quite make sense for the aircraft ID and the call signs. It wasn't Air Force One. And the person tracked it going over England, and they photographed it, and it was Air Force One.
Huh.
So they just changed the call sign and everything as they went over to try to disguise it. Oh, but yeah.
I'm sure they didn't want other nations to know it.
I don't know, but I mean, now to me, it's giving investigators like myself more tools to use to at least eliminate possible knowns, because in the past, I mean, you'd have to try to get information on military aircraft. They could be conducting exercises you don't know about in a certain region. But at least it helps eliminate the potential knowns to really scrub down to really get that list of really good unknowns. So I'm working some areas like that now, and I think it really is great to just network with other people and see what they've done and see where they're at right now. So that's going to be one of my big things coming in the next year, probably, because I've got a number of unique assets going back to the computer side, the software side I'm familiar with, that sometimes I'm extremely fast at getting the information. And we were doing some work the one night, and as they're doing the work, I mean, I'm already pulling up potential results on the computers. We're going through stuff. It's just a matter then of scrubbing out the information you're getting, making sure you're getting good resources out there to get your data from. Also, the other thing I was getting involved with is I'm monitoring some of the stuff going on with the newer detectors out there that they have out now. Like I mentioned earlier, a little while ago, about picking up the magnetic anomalies out there. And they're also looking at potential like radiation, picking up changes in radiation from natural background as a relationship down there. So I'm tracking their stuff as I go too to see what I can find out. And so to me, it's just almost like going back to school again, in a sense, at a much higher level. So it's just really getting enjoyable out there. That's what I'm doing right now. That's my big things. Besides, over the winter, I'm going to be getting my scanners out. I love the historical stuff. I love to go back and read historical things, research historical documents, and then share those with other people that are in some of the groups I'm in. So that's going to be my other major project over the winter, going through and doing that.
Now, do you think UFOs transmit to one another? I mean, is there a frequency or something you'd be able to pick up on them?
You cut out a little on me there, Henry.
I said UFOs. Do you think they transmit one UFO to the other? Would there be a way you could pick up on those transmissions?
You know, I'd like to think there is. But the thing is, it goes back to, are they transmitting things like a radio signal like we may think of? Or is it all a mental type communication?
Yeah,
that's the thing, you know, because that's why I always think back of when we're sending out craft like Voyagers and so forth, we're putting disc on them. Well, that individual who finds that has to be able to understand or comprehend how to play that disc. Even if there's directions on it, they have to have the equipment they need. I mean, they could be looking at things as that being so archaic, they would never think about spinning a disc on a record player, you know.
That's true.
Do you know if there's been any long-term studies of abductees? psychological studies.
Long-term psychological studies?
I mean, do people check in with them every now and then just to see how they're doing, if there's changes, behavioral changes, etc.?
There's been some out there, and I think it's more on a either a private group basis. MUFON now has the abduction research team out there, and that's in a different area than where I am. We kind of like, if somebody's has abduction experiences, we pass them over to that group, and then that group pretty much handles it from here. But I'm sure they're going back and following up on individuals, you know, like 6 months, a year after these things have happened on there, to see, you know, if they still have experiences and whatever after effects they may have. That's one of the areas I'm not in right now.
I was wondering if in case somebody like Tina walked in on a case study like that and just silently mm-hmm. tried to read abductees and to see what kind of information could be correlated between what the actual report was versus what the abductee was saying
right.
versus what Tina's feeling or seeing, etc.
Now, that'd be interesting to try that. Right now, what they've done, to my knowledge at least, is when they brought somebody in to do certain research in those areas, they've had to go through like a check of MUFON on air so they know who they're bringing in. Because I've had a number of people, you know, email me, hey, I'd like to get involved with this, and we don't really know who they are, their backgrounds, what their intentions are, anything like that. And in one case, the individual was already biased very much in a certain direction. The name I saw pop up, and I went back and researched the person. I'm like, they're already, you can see a personal bias would already be interjected to guide the witness down a certain path, even if it didn't exist. That was the bad part. But I know what you're saying, though, Barbara. I think it would be an extremely good idea.
And Tina, if you do that, then I get 20% finder's fee. So.
Yeah. If I get some over on the west side of the state.
Yeah.
Over towards the border.
Well, it would just be fascinating to have a different paradigm look at.
Yeah, you're right, because too many times people look at the lights in the sky, you look at the experiences that people have, and when I talk to somebody who reports a potential abduction experience, or not even necessarily abduction experience, I like to take and really kind of probe without them really knowing it that much. Have they had other experiences in their life? How long has it gone on? And just try to pull out things in the background. And there's been several times where I've done that. The witness didn't realize that. They said, let me tell you about another experience I've had. And then when you start really talking about something, they kind of blown off this experience that they had maybe a number of years ago was way better than this report they're giving now. And either they're suppressing it without realizing it, until you start talking about it, you start bringing it out. You know, it's just, I don't know, but I love to see if there's something in the background like that.
Yeah, it's the same thing when you're doing investigations for people, for like when you're ghost hunting. It's the same type of thing. We have a list of questions, and some of them are not so much to trip you up, but to bring forward that one thing you forgot, or the one thing that they didn't think was any consequence that rings bells for you, or puts warning signs up that, you know, just something that they've said or done that they didn't think was anything important. So, yeah, same type of thing.
And, you know, when you hit that a certain question, all of a sudden you get this answer. It's like, okay, here comes the eyebrow up, like, wow, this is unique.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to go after it. That was where I had one girl who was reporting something that was almost like a paranormal activity in her house. But as we really started getting into it, she started telling me about experiences happening at night And she had a cat, and even the cat was being affected at times. The cat would start reacting to something, like something was in the room that was not in the room, you know, that she could see nothing in the room except maybe like a shadow type figure moving in the room. And then her son was reacting the same way. She had a 3-year-old son at the time. And the son was responding, and the son was even talking about having marks on himself, his back hurting, and she would actually see marks on his back. Hmm. It didn't make sense. And what really freaked her out the one night, she didn't watch, let her son watch movies, anything like that, any bad cartoons and stuff. And she didn't talk about UFOs in front of him. But one night he was talking about, they were both on board of a craft where they were laying on tables. And he says, I could see you on a table, Mommy, but I couldn't move. We were being examined by these, he called them like purple men. And he says, there are purple men and yellow men. He says, one of them hurts me. And he was talking about the pain on his back. And he brought out, she did have the book by Whitney Strieber, Communion. And he found the book, and he brought the book out, and he says, Mommy, this is the guy that took us on board the craft. And so here's a 3-year-old, and it's like, okay, is this a 3-year-old's imagination? Or did something really happen?
Right. And being 3 years old, how much would a 3-year-old make up? I mean, that sounds pretty elaborate for a 3-year-old.
Oh, it was. I mean, I had him trying to draw like the best he could. I said, you had to kind of use crayons and draw what he was finding. And he was just drawing the little stick figures and so forth on there. But then he says, well, Mommy, we went through the window and went to the, as he called it, best way he could describe it was a motorcycle. And she was taken as being like a craft that they were taken to outside. And he just kind of called it like a motorcycle. And the window that they went through had a fan in it. And she goes, but we can't go through that window. There's a fan there. And he goes, no, Mommy, we went right through the fan. Almost like it wasn't there. So it's almost like, is this something that's happening, you know, interdimensional?
Yeah.
Wow.
But when you have that story come out of somebody who reported something that was really nothing, on her original report, it turned out to be lens flare from in a photograph. But if you hadn't probed and actually asked her more about her experiences, you know, and things like that, that story never would have came out. And she actually saved the diary for me for some time of nightly experiences on air because I had her put in a diary. Wow. But things like that are unfortunately few and far between. But now my whole idea is you want to get more ready for something like that when it does come up. That's why even if I'm doing mundane cases, I want to take and put the same research into them.
Right.
So to me, I just keep honing my skills all the time. That's why I want to reach out in some of these other groups, network with other people, and see what other skill sets I can add into my own abilities on there.
Everybody was hearing a pinging. It was probably somebody getting, you know, an angel getting its wings. So.
Well, I thought somebody's pot pie wasn't done in the microwave.
Well, two pings were my phone. A couple texts came in.
Oh,
I got
okay.
Some UFO reports. As we're on the air here, I had two UFO reports come in.
So your pot pie's not done?
No. The popcorn I ate earlier, by the way, too.
Have they asked you yet to return back to Post Town this coming year?
Not yet. I've already got some other people contacting me about some other ones. There's one over in Kent, I believe.
Kent.
They contacted me about, that was April. There's one coming up that they want me to come over for the a weekend event. But I haven't heard any other ones yet.
Okay. They already asked me if I wanted to come back next year. And I said, yeah, put me on the list. So also what we're talking about events for next year. Our thing with Gettysburg is going to be, let me look at dates here so we can get it up. Will be April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Actually, probably be the 19th and 20th. I'll be there on the 18th.
So you're positive?
I'm positive. That's the dates that I'm going to do.
Okay. So now I can schedule other things around.
You can schedule other things around it. Those are the dates. If you're wanting to go to Gettysburg with the Paranormal View or meet us there, it will be in April, the 19th and 20th, and I will be there also sometime on the 18th. Do not have a place set yet where we will be doing the show. I'll get some people to work on that and see if we can't get a venue that maybe we haven't done yet. So otherwise, it'll probably be Mr. G's ice cream.
Never turn down ice cream.
No, if I can ever get to eat it.
Oh.
You mentioned a weakness of mine now, so.
Well, I am driving through Ohio to get to Gettysburg, so if I'm picking anybody up, let's make plans. Come on.
I've been. Yes, way you say the best way. I've been threatening to be there. What, the last couple of years now, Henry? maybe the third time's a charm this time.
That's why I'm throwing out the dates early.
That's why I just wrote them down too.
So if anybody else wants to go, yeah, we have to also eat pizza too. They have the best pizza. Yes.
From the East Coast, it was okay.
It was okay.
Sorry.
What is this, the thick Chicago style pizza you like?
No.
Or the New York thin crust?
No, it's in between.
Okay.
That's what they like. I'm originally from Pennsylvania, between like Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area. So we grew up with New York style pizza. And I'm sorry, I'm struggling with all these others that, oh, this is great, this is great. No. If your pizza isn't big enough that you can't fold it in half to eat it lengthwise, there's something wrong with it. And it's too thick. It doesn't have the right stuff. Yeah. I got to take you guys east and get you some real pizza and some tasty cakes.
I was there in Philadelphia with it. I didn't get none.
Well, I tried to get you to eat Scrapple the last time we were in Gettysburg with you, but you weren't getting into that.
No. You did make me drink a what kind of thing was that? Apple something or other?
Oh God, I don't remember. It was some cider thing.
Yeah.
I would whined about it the whole time.
I know. I wouldn't have another one. So.
We'll stick you with pizza and ice cream from now on.
I know we blew right on through tonight and didn't take any breaks. However, Barbara's been checking, and she's going to tell us where we have listeners at tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
USA, Canada, UK, unknown, and Russia.
And Russia, yeah. Now, That's impressive. Have we ever had Russia listening before?
That's
I don't think
aware.
So.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. I hope they enjoyed it. So maybe they want to come over and investigate with us. We'll try and get a whole bunch more people. I've been having people already wanted to know when we was going to do it and where it was going to be at. I thought about going back to Antietam, but I think we'll pass on that and still go to Gettysburg. There's still a lot of places there that we can run around during the daytime and investigate, so we'll have a good time with that.
Oh, yeah.
I guess, Barbara, you got any more topics or questions you want to...
Thomas, is there such a thing as a Russian MUFON?
I get every day about half a dozen emails that's actually in Russian from a UFO group in Russia.
Wow.
And what the guy is doing is he's passing on different events that's happening over there all the time. And he hits me with so many of them, and I normally see them on my cell phone, and I don't get them translated. But again, I mean, there's so many a day. It's hard to stay up with all that stuff. With MUFON itself, I don't think so. But you've got private groups over there who are doing their own research.
Meanwhile, I look forward to seeing how thick your NSA file must be by now.
It may be working on getting there. Slowly. I don't try to do all the conferences out there all over the place. I just like to do my work, meet other people. I love shows like this, too. It's probably getting there, especially when I see certain sites I'm going into and the knowledge base changing a little bit.
Now, if everybody likes Thomas and likes to follow Thomas, Thomas, you got something big that's going to be starting this year or this coming year.
Yeah. You know, when I was on your show last, you had, your 10th anniversary?
Yeah.
And I'd been thinking about doing a podcast for some time. And one is just, number one, maybe the fear of doing it. Number two, can you really make it interesting out there? And three, Henry, just the time involved on here. So I was approached by a group a couple months ago. And as of January, I'm going to be doing a podcast, a weekly podcast, on Odyssey, which is associated with Star Trek. So we'll see how it goes.
Is that going to be live or taped?
Well, we're going to do a tape to begin with, but I told him I would really think about going live because I like the interaction this way.
What night will that be on?
We haven't decided yet. They just sent me a schedule as we're on the air here. And they're going to start penciling names at different places on there, but we're looking at starting in January.
As long as it's not on a Saturday night.
So, no. Watch, yeah, from 8 to 10, really. No. No. I want to make sure I keep my Saturday nights open, you know, just in case I get a text from you during the week.
I was about to say, Henry's got sweat pouring down his face right now. He's freaking out. He's biting his nails.
But it's something I just debated about for a long time. And because, like all of you know, that you've got some shows who do an extremely good job out there, other ones don't. And I told him that I'm somebody who likes to do research. I like to present data. And I don't really want to be blowing smoke up somebody's hind end out there, you know. It just like in this case in the paranormal fields, like, you know, there are ones who are extremely good out there. There are other ones who are just talking. And they're not producing.
Right.
Yet there's people out there who believe in what they're saying. And they told me what I have in mind goes. They said, that's fine. This is what we want.
That sounds good. And what place will that be airing?
It's going to be airing on Odyssey to begin with. And there may be some changes down the road.
Which is difficult because that's a common word. Looking up Podkey, there's a podcast called Adventures in Odyssey. So
it's actually spelled Odysy.
Oh, okay.
A little unique spelling on Odyssey.
There we go. America's got.
And they've already released. They've already released apps, I guess, for it, for iPhones and so forth. And there's even a thing out there for Alexa.
For Alexa. Oh.
Alexa.
Yeah. And I guess they just announced today that one of the individuals who played one of the
Odyssey, spelled that way, is a vocal group from season 2 of America's Got Talent. Okay, that's...
Nope. Try odyssey1.com. O-D-Y-S-Y-1.com.
Jeff will find it.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And does the show have a title yet?
Yeah.
Does the show have a title yet?
Actually, it does. UFOdyssey.
Odyssey?
Yeah, UFO, basically. Oh. UFOdyssey.
UFOdyssey.
Yeah.
UFO.
Oh, jeez. All right, so that odd spelling would be the same UFO with a D-A-Y-S-Y, or
Odyssey? No. Yeah, Odyssey, in, like in Homer.
Well, he has trouble with homonyms on homonyms and stuff. There we go. Okay.
So, Tina, what's coming up with you?
Oh, I've got bookings, let's see, all the way through 2009, quite a few already, and one set up for 2020 already.
Wait a minute. You've got them scheduled through 2009?
2019?
That wasn't what you said.
Sorry. I've been sitting here quiet for a while. Got to clear the throat. Yeah, through 2019, I got quite a few, and I've got one already scheduled for 2020.
Okay.
So all of them can be found at the top of my Nature's Earthware page on Facebook. And it's Nature's Earth, and then Ware is W-A-R-E.
Okay. And those are like events?
Events, and some I'll be speaking, some I'll just be a vendor, some I'll be doing both.
Okay.
Yep.
What big conventions are you going to have somewhere around this area?
Oh, around this area. That's a good question. Let's see. What do we have here? I've got quite a few in Illinois, which, yeah, that's not there. Let's see. I actually have to pull it up because I literally have to look at my phone during the season. There's been times I've woken up at a hotel and went, oh, my God, what state am I in? Because I couldn't remember. Yeah. Lots of different places. Oh, let's see.
I have an encore episode of your podcast if it hasn't aired yet, or has it? Have you already taped one?
The podcast? No, they're going to be coming out in January.
Because they've already got encore episode listed here, scheduled on. Okay. I guess that's a bookmark page then. Pardon me.
All right.
So. I got one, Henry, that's coming up. It's the ParaSciCon at the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield. That's May 4th and 5th. SilCon in Mattoon, Illinois. Mid-South is going to be September. Dark History and Horror is in Urbana. Kind of closer to home this time around. I think Ohio is probably, that one is probably the closest to you. I think there's going to be one in Toledo this year. That's usually in September. So that's probably closest to you.
Well, we'll have to find out when you got a free weekend, and I'll put something up.
Book me quick, because they're filling up. I just added 3 today. So,
well, so there's 2 places that we can investigate. One, okay, is south of me in Ross, which about 25-30 minutes from me.
Okay.
That's the antique mall. And then it's about the same out to Preble County Historical Society. You'd really like Preble County Historical Society, though.
Yeah.
It's a nice little old house and very well kept up. It's got a log cabin, and it's got a barn and a couple other buildings. Very nice area. So,
cool.
As soon as you let me know, like, when you have a free weekend, and
okay,
I'll talk to her and see if we can come out there, and maybe if Thomas wants to come down, he can come and go with us.
Yes. Yes, let's do that.
Sounds good.
Need lots of photos.
You don't want to break the camera.
We want to post them on the Paranormal View page, each of your pages, is networking. It's all what it's about in social media.
Yep.
Barbara, you got any quick things?
No.
No. Well, that was quick.
What a surprise. He's photographing in graveyards.
Photographing in graveyards. Photographing peeps.
Peeps, yes. Got some more peeps.
So. And oddly enough, photograph at night. Still haven't seen a ghost, photographed a ghost, and still haven't photographed an orb, and still haven't photographed a UFO.
Or a cryptid running around stuff.
So just a quick question then. Do you believe because you haven't caught anything on a photograph that there's nothing there? Or
I just you think just haven't my caught camera it? Can't pick it up. And then I'm.
or they haven't been around yeah, when she's taking a photo.
I know how to focus my camera so I don't get orbs. Meow.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah. Well, as for me, I'll be guesting on Marla Brooks's Stirring the Cauldron on Thursday, January 3rd.
Cool.
So we're going to be discussing Doctor Who and how the current season pretty much has been horrendous and terrible, and hopefully will improve for the next season. With actually scripts that know how to Doctor Who.
Well, I can't understand why they haven't called you to be in the shows.
I agree.
Being American, you know, it's the trouble. Also, my short film Bucky is officially completed as of the winter solstice. We added some additional ADR and musical score, and my producer and leading man and I are like, I think we're done. So now all we have to do is find some way to get money to start submitting it to film festivals.
Cool. All
right. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I want to thank Thomas and Tina for taking the time to be with us tonight.
Anytime.
Yeah. Oh, anytime.
You have to be careful when you say that.
Yeah, we know, obviously.
Trust me, I know.
It's a dangerous thing for Henry to have your phone number.
I know. The text comes in.
Yeah.
through Messenger.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
But it makes an enjoyable evening, though.
It does. Very much so. I love being here and talking. And I get to meet cool people like Thomas, you know?
I get to meet you. Yeah.
There we go.
You got to meet Thomas yet?
No, I have not.
Hey. Henry, you and I and Barbara and I have not met in person yet. We've known each other for a decade.
Yeah. No, well, you guys kind of, they don't have that. Train, it only takes 6 hours.
9 hours, yeah, 9 hour train.
So, but anyway, I want to thank everybody who has followed us throughout the year. Appreciate each and every one of you, and we will strive to have good shows through the coming year. And yeah, we'll probably have Tina and Thomas on, so they're always fun guests. They'll make us laugh and everybody else too. So appreciate that. And I just, again, thank everybody and hope everybody has a very good new year. Don't get too drunk. And I don't think too many people got too drunk tonight, unless they was drinking every time we said something. So with that though, appreciate everything. And, this is, it's almost time for us to run, so I want to let everybody know that we will be leaving here in just a second. So this is until next week. This is Henry Foister.
Barbara.
Who?
And Jeffrey Gould. Who?
Did my name not no, come through? I said it.
It didn't.
Stupid. All right. Skype.
And, of course, Tina and Thomas.
Thank you.
We'll see you
Thank
guys.
Thank you very much.
See everybody next week at the same time. So until then.
Happy New Year.
everybody.
You've been listening to The Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. Join us again next week at the same time for more of The Paranormal.